This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Got De La Cruz and Sanchez returning in the corner outfield positions. They can play all over. Chaz Chisholm is going to start in center field.
A little taste of some of these big guys coming out and hitting them. Like, all right, you think you're going to run around our guy? How about if you get a little taste of Landon Dickerson coming right down your throat?
We'll throw it to Ayuk inside, touchdown. Samuel leading the way. Ayuk comes inside of him.
All right, ain't nothing like a 9 o'clock hour on a Friday. Nothing like it. Man, I hope you have great plans out there this weekend. Get to go out and enjoy yourself a little bit here. We've had some great weather, man. Some great, great weather. And we got a lot going on. Heat in town, taking on the Celtics tonight. Panthers on the road, continue against Montreal after taking care of Toronto. Toronto trying to even things up in points last night. That didn't happen. Thanks to Bennett getting a couple power play goals. That took care of that. And the Miami Dolphins continue to fill out their 90-man roster, signing some of their own guys here recently, and also losing some guys. Yeah, lost a couple of guys to Sean Hand. I thought they might try to get him back. Raheem Mostert knew was gone. Congratulations going to the Raiders. And Anthony Walker, who also – good linebacker. Had no problem with Anthony Walker coming back. Was injured some at the end there. Will go to Tampa Bay Bucks. Meanwhile, speaking of the Tampa Bay Bucks, the Dolphins pick up K.J. Britt. Started 11 games last year. He'll be the inside linebacker positions with Jordan Brooks and Tyrell Dotson. Got a running back as well. With a Madison, Alexander Madison, 5'11", 220 pounds, big back to go with Achan and Wright. And then, as I just said, right guard, starting right guard last year, most of the year, Liam Eichenberg has signed a one-year deal to come back with the Miami Dolphins. I got to tell you, man, for a guy that got knocked and ripped the whole time he was here, Liam Eichenberg, Woody, if you really think about it, like, you know, listen, we're in the business. Liam Eichenberg didn't work at left tackle and then right tackle. And, you know, he's going to try, we're going to make him a tackle. No, he's not working out a tackle. Let's move him inside. And then he's playing center. He got 52 starts. 52 starts for a guy that everybody has basically said he can't play. Not a starter in this league. And he got 52 starts. For Dolphins, and they've had lots of injuries, so he's had to play different places. But
that the most nauseating part of this is, 10 years later, I'm still listening to you talk about the offensive line.
Yeah, it has been.
I mean, it's absolutely brutal to listen to. It's just, man.
So you know what's
every year since I've been working with you, it's got to be about 10 years now. The offensive line. We got to fix the offensive line.
We had a left tackle, that was a good one, and they figured it out with a high pick thanks to the social media picture of him and the marijuana.
Larry Tunsil, yeah.
So Tunsil allowed
his team anymore, though.
So he dropped. No, I'm saying that. And, okay. And so right away you trade him. You got a lot of picks instead of just keeping a guy you're going to have. And they decided to go that because we were into the pick business at that point, and we're going to build it. Do we have the right guy to build it with those picks? Very questionable to this day because he's still the same guy. But we have had trouble.
He's taking a few stabs at it, is what you're saying?
We've had a we have struggled.
Well, look, man, either you have a quarterback that can overcome offensive line deficiencies, or you build the offensive line, one or the other, and they haven't addressed either of those things.
And the Tua
fans. You have a quarterback
fans,
who's a statue, and if you touch him, he crumbles. And you got an offensive line that sucks.
So Tua fans are going, Joe, we agree with you. We got to fix this offensive line, or Tua can never be Tua.
It's such a strange argument, though, too, because, like, what quarterback in the NFL, if you give them all day to throw, isn't going to be good?
I agree.
Like, that's such a stupid argument that people keep making.
Guy,
oh, if we give Tua all day long to throw, he'll complete pass. Like, yeah, no, you know, obviously, yeah.
So would a lot of other guys, to your point.
I mean,
yes.
Come on, man.
You're nobody's
the fact of the
have...
matter is the guy's not a dynamic player, and you're trying to cover up his weaknesses, and it is what it is.
Do you see Mahomes? Do you see Mahomes run around a little bit in the last couple games?
I saw it in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. His offensive line got smashed. Now they got hammered, too, in the game. So,
in fairness, I mean, Philly's defensive line was pretty good.
We just saw one guy get 70-something million on the outside, and the other got 100 as a part-time defensive tackle that had 2 sacks in that game.
That's another position I feel like we're always trying to address is defensive line. We never figure that one out either.
Defensive line?
It's okay.
So we've had some good defensive tackles, but we don't re-sign them. So here's one I hear, too, Woody. I don't know if you're with this. If you see they're going to be real good, why don't you try to re-sign them early before they get too good and have vision that you're going to want that guy?
That's another thing, by the way, that I've heard you say for 10 years plus. Why don't we have vision on our good players?
By you know who they did a great job with? This is crazy. Zach Sealer.
Yeah.
They realized Zach Sealer is going to be good. They gave him a deal, and now Zach's going, I've had double-digit sacks as a defensive tackle. You think I'm about 40 or 50 million underpaid? Just because I'm not a draft pick and you got me from the Ravens and they didn't realize how good I was going to be. They did a great job on that one, though. They tied him up. That guy is the best bargain on this team. Calais Campbell is a great bargain playing for peanuts last year.
Mm-hmm.
But Zach Sealer's MVP, and he's had 10 sacks. I think he might be the only defensive tackle to have double-digit sacks back-to-back years. Great vision by the team on Zach Sealer. Not great on their own draft picks.
It's just it's the same talking points every year, and it gets, like, you know, frustrating.
Listen.
It truly is, right?
And you know what their argument back is?
Now, by the way, we're back to the can Tua stay healthy. You know, that got a year off.
It's not, though. See, I disagree. Now it's, you better have a guy if he goes down because you can't.
Well, it's the same conversation, just in a different way. But you want a backup. I understand.
I had a guy ask me
yesterday.
But
that's the same conversation. Remember we took a year off from the Ken Tua stay healthy thing because he did for that 1 year, the jiu-jitsu year? But it's the same thing, man. It's like every year it's the same conversations in the offseason. Offensive line.
I had a guy ask me yesterday. I met with some great guys. Huge Dolphin fans, older Dolphin fans, when they call them Orange Bowl Dolphin fans, where they were going to the games. And he asked me, he goes, you think Tua can stay healthy? And I was like, listen, man, the guy ain't trying, first of all, on behalf of Tua, he's not trying to get hurt. He's not so, hey, miss some more games. Told you. Like, he wants to stay healthy.
I don't think anyone's accusing him of that. I mean, he's not taking dives out
there. But if you're asking me if I think he's going to stay healthy for 17 games, you could be his biggest fan. You can't tell me he's going to stay healthy for 17 games. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know. And it probably percentages off history, he's not. Anyway, hey, we got Mike Ford.
Was it 1 year, right? That he
1 year.
Yeah.
That's it. And it was the most important one because it got him a new contract. A big one.
He would have gotten it regardless, probably.
Yeah.
But, right.
Hey, can I just say this, man? Mark your calendars. We got another sport getting ready to start back up. Marlins baseball's back. March 27th at 4:10 p.m. Sandy Alcantara returns to the mound. It's going to be nice to see that 99, 100-mile-an-hour fastball. He's still on the team, and he'll be opening it up against the Pirates. Dan Marino throws the first pitch, plus Luis Fonsi and Flo Rida teaming up for an epic post-game concert on the field. Boy, they're doing it all for the opener here. Listen, opening day is always fun, man. Going to him with my dad, we're always a lot of fun talking about him. It's opening day, and the whole world's invited to get your tickets at marlins.com/opening day out. They're going to have a post-game concert, a lot of stuff going on there. The opener, get there early, get to see what the team's going to look like, and have fun. Nothing like opening day in baseball with the Marlins and the Pirates.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, it's time to bring in Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Damn, Mike, you've been busy, man. Senior Bowl, about 900 interviews there. Come back to the combine. You must feel like free agency things are slowing down a little bit.
This has been nuts this week, though. And I'm looking at our numbers for this week, and I think we've had maybe a 30% bump over last year, first week of free agency. And this was supposed to be a weak free agency class. But the reality is, whether it's a weak class or a strong class, free agency or the draft, the money is still there to be spent. The picks are still there to be made. And people are interested in what their teams are going to do to get better. And the best way for a team to try to make itself better quickly is to go out and spend. And the easiest way for a good team to turn not good quickly is to see a mass exodus, like the San Francisco 49ers, who since Super Bowl 58 have lost half of their starting lineup. 13 months, half of their starting lineup is gone.
Mike, Monday was one of the best days. I mean, they were just coming in, whether you're watching ESPN or just watching Pro Football Talk or NFL Network, bam, 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 the deals were just coming in right now. Oh, we got another one. It was just, and like you said, whether it's part-time guy that was really good, whether it's the Eagles defense, which, by the way, those guys ended up being the big winners. Those guys got paid unbelievable money, but and everything goes back, though, Mike, at the end of the day, and I always say this, and you say this, and since we've been together, everything always starts and finishes with the quarterback position. I had no idea Aaron Rodgers was going to – I've had people, oh, Aaron Rodgers is done. People are tired of his crap. They're not – he's got the Vikings, Giants, and Steelers, and he's holding everybody hostage in the middle of this thing. I think it's hilarious.
In 2 weeks, he's gone from being almost irrelevant to being the center of attention again. The nugget that intrigued me during Combine Week was that his people had reached out to the Giants. When I heard that, I thought, he's got nothing. If he's reaching out to the Giants, I mean, he had just said he's got two factors that he's looking for. One, the team has to want him, which, duh. And second, it has to be a good team. No one would call the Giants objectively a good team right now. He called them because he had nothing. Now he's got Steelers, Giants, and this vague sense that maybe the Vikings are going to get involved. and he's out there on the beach in his Darth Vader cape walking around for candid paparazzi planned stage photographs. Sims and I are going to message you and say, I guarantee you, that was staged. That's staged. That's not candid. It's made to look like it was candid. This is Aaron Rodgers once again being the guy that everybody wants to talk about, and he'll reserve the right to complain about all the attention that he craves. It's a dynamic in sports and just celebrity generally, and I refer to it like this. Hey, everybody, look at me. What the hell are you looking at?
Hey, so is it more about money or is it more about what you just said? Because I heard his comments is after a workout in Southern California. I want somebody that wants me and where I can win. A lot of this got to do with money still. Is he trying to get one more big fat payday?
Well, my understanding as of Monday was a deal could have been done by Tuesday with the Steelers. I think the problem is that the Steelers aren't offering enough. And the Giants, I had said Monday, and I had heard Monday, if they blow him away financially, that could be enough to get him to go to New York. He wants to play two more years, I believe. That's at least what I've heard. And in New York, there's no guarantee you're going to get 2 years, because if you don't get to the playoffs this year, they may have a new regime. And we know what happens to New York teams with new regimes that signed Aaron Rodgers. They move on to somebody else. So I think that he's leaning Pittsburgh because, number one, it's more certain to get 2 years. And number two, he's more likely to go out as a guy on a playoff team. He hasn't been in the playoffs since 2021. So the posture right now is the Steelers have made their offer and everyone's waiting to see what he does. And at a certain point, Joe, I say shame on the Steelers for not getting this all lined up before they traded for DK Metcalf. You know, when the Seahawks traded away Geno Smith last Friday, there's no way in hell they didn't know they were getting Sam Darnold. There's no way you play that game and just take that chance that you're going to backfill the quarterback position after you've traded away your starter. Yes, it's tampering, but so what? You do it, and they did it. The Steelers, before they agreed to trade for DK Metcalf, they should have made it clear to the options out there, we need to know, are you taking this offer? And if not, we're moving on to the next guy. But they needed to have a quarterback lined up. Even if it comes to light on Monday or Tuesday, they needed to have it done. Right now, we don't know what they're going to have. And good luck if you don't have a high-end quarterback getting the most out of this guy you're going to pay $30 million a year to in DK Metcalf.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, what a humbling experience for Russell Wilson. It looks like he literally has to wait to see what Aaron Rodgers is going to do before somebody will make some type of commitment to him.
Well, and I think, Joe, he might ultimately have to ask himself, is he willing to go somewhere where he's either not the starter or he's the bridge guy who's quite possibly going to be supplanted by whoever the team gets in the draft? That's kind of where he is right now in his career. And there aren't many quarterbacks who were once the highest paid player in football who willingly humbled himself to be guy who holds clipboard. Joe Flacco is the only one who's done it, who was once the guy, yeah, highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Twice Flacco was. Russell Wilson has had that title. It takes a lot to step back and be a backup, and I'm not sure that he would do that. I think that he may be the guy who has no seat at the table when this game of musical chairs ends. And that's in part based upon the fact that, you know, I've heard from somebody in Pittsburgh who's in a position to make this assessment that it's just over for him physically. He's got one bag or one club in the bag at this point. It's the moon ball left and the moon ball right. He can't do anything else anymore. He can't run away from pressure. He doesn't have much of an underneath game. He can't really see underneath. It's easy to see left and right down the sideline. And I just think it's all coming together, and Father Time is going to inevitably win against every player, even quarterbacks. Tom Brady got lucky because he never was much of a mobile guy anyway, and he still had his arm, and he was smart about getting rid of the ball. Russell Wilson's just at the point where there isn't much left he can do, and I think he's going to have a hard time finding a starting job.
What do you think about the Dolphins going with Zach Wilson as a backup on a guaranteed one-year, $6 million deal?
I know that it's not a popular take because people will say Zach Wilson sucks because he had a hard time with the Jets, but have we learned nothing from the experiences of Geno Smith and Sam Darnold? Do we not realize that it's possible that Zach Wilson struggled with the Jets because of the Jets and not because of him? He was the consensus second guy in 2021 when the 49ers did that trade with the Dolphins and moved up to number three. It was a given that Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson would be gone and that the 49ers would have their pick of the quarterbacks who were still left. There was never, what a reach. It wasn't a reach. It was Lawrence and it was Wilson. And some thought Wilson would maybe be a better prospect. And the Jets are the Jets. So I think Wilson's intriguing, Joe, because the Dolphins badly need a backup who can run the offense the same way that Tua does. And I believe that Zach Wilson has the overall athleticism to do all that shell game, globetrotters, flipping the ball around, timing stuff. Because isn't it weird when Tua gets hurt, whoever they put in just doesn't even try to do that stuff?
Right.
They need somebody who can run the offense the same way. It's not just a quarterback issue. It's the other 10 guys on offense. When you have a dramatic difference between the skill sets of the starter and the backup, and you have a completely different playbook for the backup, that puts extra stress on the other 10 guys because now they're running two offenses. We got the offense that we use when the starter's available, and then we pivot to this other offense when the starter's not available. You want a guy who can simulate as best as possible what your starter does. So I think that this is a sneaky great move by the Dolphins because I think Zach Wilson is better than what we've seen. He just needed to mature. He got that break last year in Denver. I suspect that Sean Payton had some good things to say about him because the Dolphins didn't wait around. Look at all the veteran quarterbacks that are out there. The Dolphins didn't screw around. They made a beeline for Zach Wilson.
I think Mike loved this guy and went to Chris and said, I can turn this guy around if he's got any issues with confidence. I can take care of that when he sees what we're going to do and the way he's treated here. I can get the most out of him. And physically, he's got a lot, as you said, a lot of talent that could be perfect for everything going on. Hey,
you can't be a competitive team. If your starting quarterback is going to get injured on a regular basis, you cannot be a team that has nothing behind the starting quarterback. It's malpractice for the organization to not have a good backup.
We learned that. That almost cost a GM and a head coach. That had to be real close to costing somebody a job. That right there, not having the right guy as a backup. That matter of fact, they can't play Skylar Thompson. That was terrible. Hey, so I got to ask you, the Belichick thing. I just love. And speaking of love, he looks like this little 24-year-old Jordan. He's in love with. She seems to be calling Mike. This is unbelievable. Just reading your stuff, she's calling a lot of shots and is in on a lot of stuff here. Bill's changed a little bit since that New England job.
Well, I mean, look, I struggle with this because I don't care what people do in their private lives, but when it spills over to their professional lives and it's dealing with one of the great coaches of all time who clearly wants to get back into the NFL and nobody wants him, when you see him break from the way he's always been, I mean, just a couple of years ago, he would have ridiculed anybody that would have done this. I mean, let's think about this. In all the years that I've covered the National Football League or paid attention to any sport, has there ever been a time where a coach of a team directly involves wife, fiance, girlfriend, anyone in their business? That's just a wall that you just accept that that's a – like,
right.
You're never going to break that wall down. Like, it's so weird. And I think back to 2022 when Belichick put Matt Patricia, the lifelong defensive coach, in charge of his offense. I remember saying, if any other coach did this, we would say, has he lost his damn mind? But Belichick gets a little bit of a benefit of the doubt because of all the success he's had. And I think the same thing here. If it was any other coach, it would be like, what's wrong with this guy? And it's just, you know, when they flirted with the Hard Knocks offseason stint a couple of weeks ago before it all fell apart, I asked somebody who knows Belichick, why would the guy who never would have done Hard Knocks suddenly do Hard Knocks? And the response was, why is he doing anything that he does now? Yeah. So, you know, again, hey, live your life, do what you want. I don't care. But, man, when that stuff on your private time crosses over into your work time and it just creates weird outcomes like copy my girlfriend on all the emails, man, that's just – you know, sometimes you got to call weird weird, and there's something weird about that.
Bill's in love, man. It's that, Mike, it's that love thing or that mad crush or the power of you know what, because whatever it is, Bill's feeling like he hadn't felt in a long time with this young girl. Hey.
He's under somebody's spell, that's for damn sure.
Hey, last thing for you. So this thing, this football stuff is, and college football just blown up. And we got a quarterback down here, Carson Beck from Georgia, as you know, got an NIL deal for $4 million down here. A lot of money. And we had the last guy, matter of fact, could be the first pick in the draft. Cam Ward got $1.5 million. So guys are making big money in college football, and I understand it. It really kicks in when a guy, somebody comes in and robs a guy from his Lamborghini and Mercedes. Oh, my God. I was like, he had a what? Yeah, somebody got in his house, took a Lamborghini and a Mercedes. My man got two fancy cars. Mike, the money is truly crazy in college football when you start hearing that. I mean, the $4 million, you can do whatever you want. Don't get me wrong. $4 million, a lot of friggin' money.
Now, look, if I had that kind of money if you give me that kind of money today, I'm stuffing it in my mattress or burying it in jars in the backyard, right? I'm not spending it. If I'd have had that money when I was in my early 20s, I'd have done the same damn thing. I'd have said, there's plenty more where that's coming from. I'm getting myself a couple of nice cars, and if they get stolen, oh, well, I've got insurance. But, Joe, think of how long there's been this inherent corruption in college football.
Yes, you're right.
Where everybody gets paid. I've felt this way for years. We used to go to all the West Virginia games before I got sucked into the NBC vortex, and I travel every Saturday now. And I remember looking around and saying to family members, everybody connected to the presentation of this game, this experience that we are enjoying today, is getting paid. Everybody. The guy selling the popcorn is getting paid. The guy telling you where to park is getting paid. The guy taking the tickets back when they actually took tickets is getting paid. Everybody's getting paid except the guys we came here to see.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And they maintained it for decades under this umbrella of the NCAA, which told all of the institutions you can't give them anything more than room and board and tuition and fees, and then they relented and let them have snacks. That's it. That's the rule. They must be amateurs. And it was all one giant antitrust scam. It allowed every college who's a member of the NCAA to say, sorry, we'd like to give you more, but we can't. And now that genie's out of the bottle. And look, you know, people want to hate on lawyers, and I was one for a long time, and I understand there's plenty of things lawyers do that merit ridicule. But lawyers change the world. And somebody finally realizing that the entire model is one giant antitrust violation that has been hiding in plain sight. You've got more than 100 different businesses that come together under this false umbrella of the NCAA and fix the prices of their workforce and paid for years nothing. Oh, well, they got an education. I don't care if they got an education. Number one, a lot of them don't want the education. And number two, the value of the education pales in comparison to the value that the players are bringing. So I don't know if you expected me to say this in response to your Carson Beck point. I am in favor of these guys getting every last penny from whoever they can get it from. And I just feel bad for all those kids who spent all those years getting nothing, who didn't go on to play in the NFL, who lost the opportunity to make anything for their abilities and their sacrifices and their skills and the entertainment they provided to millions because of this stupid-ass amateur system that was all about keeping the money in the pockets of the schools.
You know, I knew you felt that way. I knew that was going to be somewhat of a rant.
Oh, yeah, you got me going. I mean, it is one of the great underrated and under-scrutinized wrongs of our time in sports.
Yeah. No. Listen.
That system existed as long as it did with the players getting, and I want to say a word that starts with F and ends with D and has a K somewhere in the middle.
Hey, Mike, they're making up for it now. And by the way, the quarterback, Mr. Beck, wants to thank you because things are much, much better now. Hey, Mike, good talking to you. Thank you so much, man. Take care of yourself. All right. Mike Flora from Pro Football Talk joining us here on a Friday, and he's all fired up. Tell you what, speaking of attorneys, Harvey Cohn and Gary Judah, partners of Cohn and Judah, injury law firm, personal injury attorneys in Plantation, big Miami Dolphin fans, and the same partners who can handle your case from start to finish, more than 30 years of experience, big enough to go to trial and get you multi-million dollar results, small enough just to call you back. Go to CohnandJudah.com. Read the reviews. If you're not happy where you are, you can always go somewhere else. And Harvey and Gary can take great care of you. Like to take a look at your case? because you're always a priority when you go to Cone and Judah. Check them out, coneandjudah.com. Read the reviews. Partners who you can always get a hold of. 866-FAIR-FEE, 866-FAIR-FEE. And remember this, they don't pay other lawyers to do the work you hire them to do. Charles Davis coming up next.